podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
Hello and welcome to Content and Capable, a podcast all about following your passions while still feeling like a proper adult. My name's Sam and I'm your host.
This week I spoke with our friends from My Cabbages, Alex and Zach, all about their experience buying a house and moving into it. Welcome to Content and Capable, Alex and Zach. It's so lovely to have you both on together again.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us, Sam. It is always a pleasure.
Yeah, to prepare for this, Alex and I haven't spoken or laid eyes on each other in a month. Just to prepare for being together on this podcast. Babe, it's so nice to see you.
Yeah, we're running like across the beach, like slow in slow motion towards each other. Oh my god, I feel so good. It's been so long. Yeah, wow. The reality is less than 10 minutes because we live together in a big new house.
Yay! I know. Congratulations!
Thank you so much.
So last time I. Actually, to be honest, last time I spoke to you, you guys were living in the house, but...
a very different living situation.
I was about to say, when I went and saw you guys in the States in July, it was a very different living situation. What's happened between when I was physically with you guys and now? You guys have got a house. What did that look like?
First of all, for those who don't know, I'm Alex. I am a fan of Sam's and also one half of My Cabbages and Avatar podcast, another Deus Ex Media Peak podcast, and we just bought a house. So that's the big thing that's changed since Sam, that you came to visit Zach and I. We were previously living with Zach, my lovely partner here, at his mother's house, which seems to be the millennial trend. You have to do at least once post either university or if you're really cool, like I'm double dipping. I moved in with back in with my parents for a year after I graduated university, after I like briefly graduated grad school looking for a job. And then we moved in with Zach's mom for about a year. And then right after you came to visit us, that's when we were actively in the process of looking for houses. And it was a very stressful but rewarding experience. We learned a lot, and obviously it worked out because we're both calling you from our new humble abode, and we are no longer every month just throwing money, like setting it on fire, throwing it into the toilet and flushing it, and just being like, oh, I don't know where that goes. The landlord can do whatever they want. They might be wiping their ass with it, I don't know. But here we are. Yeah, great to be knowing, like, we're building equity and we're actually checking things off our adulting checklist. So
I know it's very, I don't know, we don't talk about adulting. It seems like the podcast has turned more into chatting about passions, which I think is just as important about being adult as, for clarity. But, you know, it feels very adulty this episode where we're talking about buying a house.
Yeah. You know, Sam, there's a great college humor show called Actually. Where they play, the host will say a thing and it'll be wrong and the guests have to correct that thing.
I love I'm Actually.
Yeah, I'm Actually is great. But there is a little sliver at the end of I'm Actually where the final question is always a real life, like real life skills related trivia question. I feel like that's always the kind of narrow edge that your podcast sits on. This like nerd show doing a real life skills thing.
Content and Capable is a proud member of the Deus Ex Media Network, and let's be honest, most of Deus Ex Media is just a whole bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, all of. I don't think there's any non-nerd.
No, people. Not at all.
No, and you know what? I think people that say they aren't nerds, I very much question that because everyone is nerdy about something. Even if you're really, really into like Uncle Iroh and really like tea or bonsai tree making or gardening or
oh, yeah,
clipping magazines who or collecting stamps, whatever. Everyone has a thing that they can be nerdy about.
Hell, I've seen people crunch numbers in fantasy football that make me go, wow, you're such a dork.
Oh,
such a dork yeah. with all your football and you're tracking all the individual stats and stuff. Wow, so dorky.
We're talking about American football, but for at what Zach describes, fantasy football, D&D for jocks.
It's almost as good as on TikTok at the moment, we're talking about doubloons. Which a cat gives you, you know, 4 doubloons or whatever. And so there's now doubloon inflation. There was a doubloon lottery. There's doubloon police. There's a doubloon IRS. There's doubloon taxes.
Oh, my God. This is too real.
The idea of TikTok. The whole, like, hey, we're going to take this one joke that, like, kind of landed, and we're going to spin it off into a million different things. And if you weren't there for that original joke, it's all just French to you. It's all just a foreign 100%. Language.
And
it's impenetrable.
The greatest part about it is that, like, D&D TikTokers has, like, cottoned on to it and gone, this is just basically D&D. This proves that more people need to be playing D&D. And I'm like, oh, 100%. Exactly. It's fascinating.
Truly. So, Sam, we are... Yes, we were lucky enough. We ended up with our house. There were things that happened along the way that were great, others not so great. So what do you think the listeners would benefit from hearing?
Well, I suppose we should go through, like, I don't know, the process to that you guys went through in buying a house. Obviously, it's like there's inspections and finding what you want. What were you looking for in buying a house? You know, what were some of the things that was like green flags and red flags?
That's a great question. We had a list. Babe. Some of the things that were on our list for, like, it's important to have a list of must-haves. Like, I will walk if this house does not have this feature because I am an adult person and I know what I want and this is the thing that I want. And other things where you're like, boy, this sure would be nice and spiffy, but... it's not going to stand between me and, like, a deal on a house I really like. Because some of our must-haves, Alex, this one's entirely Alex, but a gas range stove. Because I don't know if you ever heated up anything on those electric stoves. It takes forever. And I ain't about that noise. I need my water to boil in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm a big cook, so... and you know, I feel one of those couples at the beginning. I'm not sure if these shows are big in Australia, but here... in USC, we have, like, HGTV, which is home and garden, like, television, and they have houses like House Hunters.
Say Yes to the Dress, things like that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So, like, we had our must-haves list, which I thought was very reasonable. Yeah, but I'm a big cook, so gas range was one of the ones. I think in an induction, like one of the newer ones, I actually think Christina has this type of stove, and it floors me. It you put a pan on the stove and set it will immediately, it's like it will, like the ions, I don't know how it works, it's witchcraft.
Induction is it just transfers energy much more efficiently into the pot.
Yeah, and
my
so
parents actually have one of them.
It instead of heating itself and then transferring that heat to the pot, it transfers its energy directly to the pot, and then that energy is converted into heat.
Yeah, and as soon as you turn it on, it's hot. If you turn it off, it cools down. So I think their learning curve for cooking, learning to cook on it, for me would be we'll see. But once I learn, I would love it. I'm already intrigued by it. But the gas range is where my comfort zone is. And so that was a must-have for us. What were some others for us, babe?
At least 3 bedrooms. I needed an office for the child. Mm.
Yes. And Zach and I had lived together previously. So, like, we kind of knew, thankfully, based on that experience, we lived in a townhouse. So, for us, we wanted a single family or, like, a detached house was our dream, we would have done maybe like the end unit on a row of townhouses, mm-hmm. or a duplex, which is like a home that's like split in two. But we would not have, I was pretty set on wanting our own house where I felt claustrophobic living in a townhouse where we had neighbors on both sides, and it was quaint at first, and there are definitely perks that I loved about our time living there, but we also were like, yeah, we need three bedrooms for a guest bedroom and a office for Zach for our little burp Rory, and he can have his space.
Speaking of which, do you see this chicken right now?
Yes.
So cute. So
very cute. He's being a very good boy. And then obviously Zach and I's bedroom. We wanted one and a half baths.
We wanted a spacious backyard.
For Puck. Because
we have an old boy, an old dog who is in his golden years, and you know, he deserves the Rolls Royce of backyards.
Sure.
No substitute will do. Fucking AstroTurf, get that shit out of here. My dog gonna pop a squat on natural grass.
Yeah, we got a big, beautiful backyard that was like something big for us, and just a place that we could entertain outdoors. And then from there, you know, we had things that would be nice, like, you know, off-street parking would have been nice, or, you know, central air, but as we quickly learned, looking for houses in the middle of summer in July in the U.S. when it's very hot and humid outside, houses that do not have central air and rely on window units, which the house that we ended up with, spoilers, has, the competition is very, very low on houses without central air.
It's at least more this is what I was going to get to about the central air thing, is in my opinion the secret to buying a house in 2022, soon to be 2023, is don't care about central AC. Because every house that we looked at that had central AC, it was like boom, it had an offer within 2 days of us like finding the place,
if not the day of.
I will say that, like, central AC is not a common thing here in Australia. I was going to say,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Often we have, we can definitely have, like, we have units. And you can put, like, multiple units in the house. So, like, for example, my parents have one in our dining room and then one in, like, the children's playroom. And there's option to put one in my parents' bedroom, I think, as well. Those are, like, the three big activity areas in the house. And like big three, like if you wanted to divide the house into thirds, that's what you would do. But they also, you're not central air conditioning, and you know, it's just not very common. And of all things, you know, you probably argue that we might need it more.
Yeah, I would think that you would, living in where you do in Australia, would need it more, if not just as much as we did. But honestly, what we learned is, if like depending on your situation, for us the window units were just fine, and nowadays there's like other heating and cooling options, which I'm not going to go into about because Tina's husband Sean is a engineer that works on heating and cooling systems, so he would know much more than I do. But I believe there's more options than just going central air that are more affordable for people that don't like window units. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that was like that you guys considered in like options in terms of what you wanted? Was there specific, you know, areas or things that you were trying to make sure you, how do I phrase this? Was there particular, you know, areas, communities, or neighborhoods that you were looking at?
The neighborhood that I grew up in, the neighborhood that my mother currently lives in, is, how do I put this? It's pretty tragically white. It's very, 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 like, sort of not diverse. Not in a way that I feel is outwardly hateful, but in a way that I feel is just stifling to me. I need people around me from, like, you know, multiple walks of life. So the
diversity.
We wanted diversity. We wanted to find a nice diverse community. We also it would have been nice if they, you know, if there weren't a bunch of like Trump 2024 flags littered around the lawns. That would also be nice because we, you know, we lean a certain way and.
Well, our neighbors felt differently.
Yeah, we think the other way is a tad unreasonable at times. Yeah. So,
In terms of like specific neighborhoods, we didn't have ones that where we were looking. We didn't have specific ones like picked out or ones that we were trying to avoid, but rather we had characteristics of the neighborhood that were important to us. So we wanted to be close to parks and green spaces for us to walk and go on walks with our dog. We wanted to be not directly like in the city, but we wanted to
not be in the boonies.
Yeah, not super far out. Like now that we're older, we like being within walking distance to some amenities was a positive but wasn't like necessary, but at the same time we didn't have to want to rely on our car for everything. My commute was important, and also looking at like cost of living and you know what other things in the neighborhood around there that there were to do. And yeah, diversity was also something
I feel like 20 somethings are like fueled by FOMO. They're like, they have to be like I'll live in a shoebox if it means I get to be in downtown where all the action is happening. I don't want to miss any cool parties or anything like that. And at our age, I'm just kind of like, I want a place that I can chill and watch a movie at without really worrying about what's happening around me.
I definitely agree. There is part of me, like even now, I only live like 20 minutes out of the city. By train, like it's even faster in a car if you time it right. There is part of me that's like, what if I live like right in the middle of the city, you know, and I could just walk everywhere and I don't actually need to be driving or riding or catching, you know, endless amounts of public transport. But then there's also like part of me that realizes that for a long time I lived at my parents' place, an hour outside of the city. And just that like extra 40 minutes is absolutely crazy. And thank goodness my father works at the airport and not in the city itself. And, you know, my mom doesn't need to go into the city all the time because it's just like that bit too far to travel, you know.
Yeah.
Especially in the morning when it can take up to an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes to get into the city.
Traffic can be terrible. And, you know, we live, you know, in the same area, like, we are – within a reasonable distance of Washington, D.C., and D.C. traffic is notorious for being terrible. And so the fact that we don't have to contend with that was something that we're grateful for. But with people with super long commutes, yeah, that's just like if you're doing it every day, it's just moments of your life that you'll never get back. So and that was something, too, that we were lucky because we both with our work situations, I do have to go into an office one day a week. Zach gets to work from home currently and has always been able to. So we were that gave us some flexibility. So if we did want to go like a little further out, we could have because me going into an office and having a commute 45 minutes one day a week is reasonable versus 45 minutes like 2 or 3 days a week or God forbid every day. So yeah, that was a factor too that kind of was in our favor.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And so when you did start looking, I don't know, I did house hunting about a year and a bit ago, and it was absolutely crazy. Was it the same for you guys? What was your experience, you know, going in and inspecting and looking at houses?
Let's talk about the farmhouse. Okay, so we were looking at houses and we found... I think we maybe visited like 3 or 4 at this point. Not that many. And
this was the second house that we looked at. We only ended up looking at like 6. I am a
liar. It was not 3 or 4. It was 2 exactly.
Just less like on House Hunters, we gave fun names to each house. So, like, the first house we looked at, not really worth mentioning, we called it the Jetsons Retro. It was, like, in a neighborhood with all the houses looked at the same, where they were built up in the suburban times of the 1950s after the post-World War II boom. And then this one we dubbed the Farmhouse, the second house we looked at. Continue, babe. Sorry.
And this house had a nice little wood-burning stove in it. It had a really pretty luxuriously large kitchen. It had a huge backyard. And it was this moment where we were like, oh, we like certain aspects of it, and it's available, and it's here, and it doesn't have any offers, and we gotta go for it! We gotta go for it now! Oh my god, we're gonna miss it! So, like, you know, that kind of, like, moment set in where we were like, all right, we like it, but let's put in an offer with the contingency that we'll get it inspected, and then we'll have the ability to walk after the inspection, which I think is a crucial thing to do, especially if you're buying, like, as is, which is a stipulation you can usually do to, like, you know, knock off some of the price, is like, we're not going to get you to, like, remodel all this stuff. Like, we're just going to buy it as is.
Sure. And, like, one thing that's something that's worth mentioning about the environment that we were buying in is we were definitely in a seller's market. So after the pandemic hit and people were teleworking and were traveling and buying places to live in crazy locations or buying places for Airbnbs, and, like, the rental market has just exploded. So many things that, like, converged, like the price of lumber and new constructions were down, like, so many things squeezed. So now people looking for houses ever since, like, 2020 to, like, just about where we are now. Like, now we are, like, slowly starting to see, I think we bought in at the very end of, like, the peak of this market where, like, houses were going, you know, people were getting into bidding wars, going into, like, you know, five, like, if not 10 or tens of thousands of dollars over asking price with multiple offers. And they were foregoing inspections. They were like, fuck it, we don't care. We will buy the house as is. We will not do an inspection. Like, whatever we have to do to make our bid competitive. You know, thankfully we didn't face that much pressure. We did, like, get outbid on another house that we put in an offer in. But yeah, the contingency that Zach was talking about, where we got the house inspected and then had the ability to say, if something came up during the inspection that was a concern to us, existed, like, the homeowners didn't have to fix anything, but it gave us as the potential buyers the ability to walk within, like, I think it was a 7-day period after we put in the offer, and that's what we ended up doing.
It is fascinating, like, when I was helping my parents house hunt last year, it was the same thing. I would rock up to a place like, oh, we've already got an offer on this, so you probably won't be able to, like, outbid, you know, like, that, you know, or this one's already about to be sold, we're just doing another inspection just to, you know, kind of mill more people through to if something falls through. Or I rocked up to a house once and there were 30 families at least at this house, and for a 15-minute inspection, 30 different families in this tiny, tiny house wedged between a railway line and a highway, and big, big power lines going over the top. And there was at least 15 offers handed in within that 15 minutes.
Jeez.
Like, it was ridiculous. It was a nice house, don't get me wrong, but it was like, looking back on it, I was like, that wouldn't have been the right place for myself to, like, we're buying the house to rent out, and I was going to be renting it out, and it was not the right place. And it was kind of terrifying to see that all of these people were doing this so quickly. It made you very stressed.
Yeah. When was this for you, Sam?
This was in, like, July last year.
Okay, so you went, your family and you went through this process then recently.
Similar to us in terms of timeline.
I wasn't super involved, but I was. I did go to a few inspections and, you know, had a bit of input because the plan was for me to rent out the place.
That's great that your parents gave you, like, that you were tangentially involved and had some, you know, authority, or not authority, but say in the process.
I can't imagine being the one with the money, though, or like being the one who's actually buying it. Like, I felt very disconnected from it. Whereas, you know, you guys are actually buying the house and having the financial impacts of buying that house. So it would have been crazy.
Yeah. So we get the inspection done, and a couple of glaring things occurred that I hadn't even considered when we were first going through the house. Like, all of the windows were sealed shut. You could not open them. They were like painted over and sealed shut, I guess, because just opening them was too structurally risky. They all basically needed to be replaced.
Yeah, it was a 100-year-old house. It was built in 1915, I think. And so, yeah, the windows didn't work. And then also, sorry, keep going, babe.
The attic and the basement. So this house, I'll start by saying our house, I feel, is quite large considering how much we spent on it. I think our house is quite spacious. This house, this farmhouse, had a similar square footage to our current house, but the
that's attic, listed online.
Yeah, the attic was like crawling space. Like I could barely kneel in the attic without my head hitting the top. And the basement, I basically had to, like, you know, like, hunch over to get anywhere. So it was, like, these two spaces are basically unusable spaces, but you've still chosen to include the square footage as though they're completely usable spaces. Yeah. In our house, I can walk around in the basement. Like, the attic is, like, a whole separate apartment. Like, and it's just, you know, night and day. It's night and day.
Yeah, it is fascinating when, like, you can't just look at those statistics. You've got to go and look, you know, how does the space lay out? How does it work within the environment that it's in? Is this actual floor space actually just crawl space instead of floor space, you know?
And you got to sometimes just sit in it and go, can I picture, like, relaxing on a Friday night watching, like, trash TV in this room, you know? It's got to feel right.
And
so the farmhouse, you inspected it. There was some problems that you were
not comfortable with.
Yeah, we were like, this is going to take more thousands of dollars than our love for this house.
Yeah, like the money that we would have to have put into the house are things that would not even have gone into, like, the things that we wanted to do, like upgrading, like, the kitchen or the bathroom or things, because it was an old home that needed a lot of love. And but the walls weren't insulated, and the another thing that, you know, we didn't consider is, like, the windows or plumbing, for example. And so the water pressure was, like, not great, and when you were running multiple, like, appliances at once, it was really, really, really bad, because the house was built with copper pipes. And so the thing with copper, like the old, like, metal pipes is, like, over time, like, they would just, like, corrode on the inside.
And, yeah, they'd rust on the inside and, like, build up calcium deposits.
Yeah. So nowadays when people, like, use, like, PVC is, like, the gold standard, but... you know, like, it's
copper is still pretty good, right?
Yeah,
I think I think most houses that I've lived in have had copper pipes in some aspect.
But it's all these little copper intricate systems that you just don't think about ever. Like, when you're, like, growing up,
especially
when
a house is that old, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So, like, the things that we would have to the plumbing was going, and you have to rip open the walls, and then you're looking at, okay, well, the walls aren't insulated, so we have to insulate. And you're talking about, like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, like, you know, just bringing the house up to modern living versus, like, you know, redoing a kitchen or a bathroom. That's going to put value back into the house, because those things that people don't see, like Zach mentioned, it doesn't add value onto the house if we were to go and resell it. Like, there's very specific things, like, and if you're looking at this, you know, as equity, like, as an investment, like, which people should, because it's going to be yours, and you ideally, like, if once you do go to resell it one a day, you want to make money and want to be able to buy an even nicer place to live. So those things matter. And so things that I would recommend that I didn't think about when you're looking at homes and, like, you're going through and doing your own, like, walkthrough, like, not necessarily the formal inspection, like, look at things like, do windows open? Look at what spaces are like to walk around and check the water pressure, like turn a sink on upstairs and then downstairs and like see what it is like, you know, check and look at the electrical box and make sure this is something that, and we were really lucky that we had a really great realtor who we just like, you know, found randomly online, was like a really, really great luck out there, but was like looking at the electrical on one house we looked at, and it was like a bunch of different circuits that were like different brands that were plugged in, and so he was like, yeah, you're probably looking at having to redo the electrical, you know, pretty in the next couple years, like this is basically a patch job. And so it's like little things like that, so all the systems that you normally don't think of, especially if you're buying an older home like we did, you want to check those things like the plumbing and the electrical and the heating.
It is a home buying equation that I like to call the charm to trouble ratio. You are buying an old home, if it has a lot of trouble, if it's got leaky floors or shitty pipes or non-central air or whatever it is, then it better be pretty charming. Like, the charm's got to match the trouble. If it's low trouble, well, that's okay if it's a little less charming because there's a lot less we got to do. So,
yeah.
I can happily sign off on a less charming house if there is less of a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yeah.
And the things that, like, in general that we went through to get the house, like, it was just a lot of like paperwork, and you know, we're looking at handing over a lot of financial documents, all of our bank statements, credit cards, like all of these, anything that was part of like things that we would consider like net worth. Like, I had money in the stock market, which we had to disclose, you know, verifying our employment, our taxes that have been paid over the past few years, like all of these things that we had to line up.
And this is just a thing that, you know, depends on the couple, depends on the people involved. Alex and I have a very stable relationship. We trust each other very, very much. We're, you know, a team in all the ways that a couple wants to be a team. We work together on a lot of things. And so Alex is the, oh my goodness, child. What are you doing?
Very curious.
Alex is the sole owner of the house. We decided, because my credit is not quite as good as hers, that it would be best in our best interest to have her be the like sole signer on the deed. And I can sign on to it later, you know, if there's no like pressure there. But that was the thing that allowed us to get the house. Because I don't think we would have qualified for as high of a loan if I had thrown my credit into the mix. And that's just, you know, a thing that you have to strategize about, and you have to decide, like, do I trust this person enough to make this big decision with them? You know, it's an important conversation. And thankfully, you know, we obviously do. It worked out for the best.
It did.
Yeah. It's very fascinating when, you know, there are things like credit scores to take into account. It's like, how do we balance those kind of things? And obviously, you know, you guys made that kind of that decision, and I don't know. It's something that I think even myself, and I'm theoretically an adult, and you know, have been, you know, theoretically probably could go and, you know, start seriously thinking about buying a house. But there is no way in the world I would be prepared to, you know, think about things like credit scores or, you know, who signs onto the deed and things like that, because it just doesn't even come across my mind.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I didn't think of a lot of things until now. I feel like I had some knowledge going into this very minimally, because for a temporary, like, 6 months in between my job where I was previously when we were living in Pittsburgh to then when we relocated here to Maryland, was I was like working for a mortgage company, and it was like in the totally like in the middle of the pandemic, and we were all working from home, and it was really interesting insight into the back end of like what's happening to your loan and like all of like the background checks that have to happen. And like, you know, when people are like checking to make sure that like, you know, there's not any, the current land or owner or the homeowner doesn't have any liens or like, you know, court filings against them on the property. There's just like so many things that happen behind. And because I had that position, I feel like I was lucky. So when I was going through, because it wasn't until the housing, like when the housing market crashed in 2008, like along with the Great Recession, there was a lot of changes that happened to the house buying process, because a lot of the people that were kicked out of or their homes or like, you know, could not afford to, that had to foreclose was because they were loaned, mortgages, and it wasn't disclosed to them that the amount that they were paying at the beginning would change over time. It was a variable mortgage. And so they would balloon to, you know, the, these huge sizes. Like the idea in theory is like, oh, well, you buy it at a certain rate. As you go get older, you know, you'll make more money. You will get advances in your career, and other things will happen that allow you as you gain more equity in your home, like you're able to like meet those higher payments.
Because as we know, every human's path is just linear.
But it's, you know,
straight line upward.
unfortunately, like these loans were given out to people, and a lot of them, you know, minority or like lower income individuals that had jobs that weren't like that, that did not like weren't salary, that were hourly, like that did not grow. And so like because of that, now there are, you know, the mortgage companies have to be, or whoever's lending you your money has to be very upfront with home buyers now about what they're paying for, what all the fees mean. And so I can only imagine like be going into this process blindly, or like, you know, buying a house, you know, 10, 15 years ago without those protections in place, at least here in the United States, I think are really important. And so when they were saying like, oh, we need to like, you need to pay, for an underwriter or like all of these like, other, services, it was, what mortgage insurance is, you know, it was how much you're paying for your inspection or a flood certification fee, like all of these things, like thankfully, you know, they're not just like hidden, and like they have to disclose the bank now how much your mortgage payment is going to be, you know, throughout the entire lifetime of your mortgage. And for us, you know, ours is fixed. And that was also another factor. We were very lucky that, in like, you know, the times we're going through where inflation is crazy and rates on interest are going up, we're able to lock in a very low interest rate before, at least here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve like hiked rates like very, very quickly, and did so several times in the time after since we have bought our house, that if we had waited a few months and were looking, you know, after, and not while you were here, Sam, back in this past summer.
It was like even then we heard rumblings of interest rates rise. I think actually in Australia our interest rates had gone up already, which is why it was like sometimes it's usually fairly okay to travel to the States financially and from a financial perspective, but it was getting towards a point where the Australian dollar just kept falling and we were like, is this going to work out? Like it wasn't going to be a huge issue, but like still, you know, when our interest rates fall and our Australian dollar adjusts and encounters all of those kinds of things compared to like the United States dollar, which is everyone's currency, we base everything off because colonialism, it was kind of scary. Like, oh, okay, there is a lot of changes going on here. And it's a very interesting, like timing is, it's all about timing when it comes to these kind of things as well.
Certainly. And if, to the point of timing, if we had waited a few more months and, like, not gotten a jump, because it was those rumblings, you know, I'm very much trying to keep a pulse. I like reading articles. I always have been a person that likes to stay informed on what's happening. And so when I did start hearing those rumblings, they're like, all right, like, we were, like, our goal had originally been to, like, by the end of this year. So, like, even now, like, have been in the process of buying a house. Like, we just buy Christmas of 2022, wanted to be celebrating Christmas or the holidays in our new house. So, but if we had waited, then we would have been priced out of the market. I don't think with the interest rates what they are now that we would have been able to afford, like, the house that we ended up getting, just because of the rate on the mortgage. So yeah, when we're talking about, like, you know, like, going up entire points. And when you're looking, when you extend that over the course of 30 years and a very large sum for a home, and depending on how much people have saved up for a down payment, and other factors, like, yeah, that can be, like, the interest rate can be what makes or breaks people's ability to afford it. So we got really lucky.
Yeah. So when you found the house that you're currently in, what were some of the decisions, the considerations that you had to make, in terms of, was this house right for you or was it not? As Zach said, balancing, you know, balancing the good and the bad, right?
Sure. And I'll say something quick and then, babe, you can tell the story and bring us home for, yeah, we ended up, like we've been saying, it worked out. But after we took off our offer from what we dubbed the farmhouse, we looked at a few other places. And there was a house we did look at that was what people call turnkey, right? Or move-in ready. Like, there was nothing that we would have had to do to the house. It was beautiful. All the kitchen and all the bathrooms and every system had been upgraded. It was in a great neighborhood. But that was the house that we did get out, like, the only other house that had a competing bid that outbid us, right? So we did go through that experience of, like putting in an offer on a home and it not working out. But then we very quickly, you know, when I found the listing for this house, which we have come to term Ghibli House, it was in a neighborhood and it was had a wraparound porch, and just, like, looking at it online, like, it came up, like, days before, like weeks even before, like, I was like, and I was like, there's no way that we would be able to end up with this house. I thought someone else would put in an offer. It was out of our initial range of what we wanted, or what we thought we could afford. And, but yeah, after we got, like, when the house that we got outbid on, in order to be more competitive, we did go back to the table and had a really long discussion. And we're like, hey, what do you think? Like, what do we value? Like, what are things we can live with and what we can't? And, we had a really, really great, loan officer, at the bank who worked and advocated for us. We were able to figure out a way that, like, that Wick made this work for us. So we went back with a higher, like, range in our budget than we initially had, and you know, saved or pulled a little more money out of our savings, and we went for it. We took a tour of this house, and yeah, I'll let Zach tell the rest.
The thing, a reassuring thing about home loanership. Is that they want to give you the loan. It's not like they're trying to find all the loopholes that would allow them to not give you the loan. They want you to spend a bunch of money because it helps them. Obviously, it helps the bank. It helps the loan people when you take out a big ass loan, because that's how they, you know, the interest, that's how they make their money. It's like, you know, they will, to a certain degree, bend over backwards to try and do whatever they can to get that number where it needs to be for you. It doesn't always work out, obviously, but it did for us, and that was great. With this house, I'd say there are, you know, a few trade-offs here and there. Like, we don't have a finished basement, which, you know, I think is always fun. I like a good basement to go down and have a video game session in or whatever. It's cool hangs, but that's where our laundry is, so we'll do our laundry down there. Other stuff, we have, you know, some aging things here and there. We have some things to replace in the next couple of years. But we just really, really love this place, and we felt it kind of deep in our bones. And like, I think ever since we first walked into this house, we were just like, this feels like a home. This feels like a place that we could, you know, live in for the next decade or two, or the rest of our lives even, potentially. It just was a really special space. And so, you know, the inspection did turn up a few things where he was like, hey, you'll have to do this, you'll have to do that, you'll have to replace this, and down the line, this will happen. But it wasn't enough to really move the needle for us. It was like all of the stuff that basically made the farmhouse a no deal were not there. Like, there was decent pipes, the windows opened and closed, which, like, it's a low bar, but it's there.
It's there. It's amazing how your standards change when you realize that sometimes windows don't open and close on
when sure. You realize sometimes windows don't open.
You know, and God's forbid the house ever, you know, and an emergency that you needed to, like, fire or a burglary, and you needed to, like, escape through a window. And if it doesn't open, like, what do you do?
You know what they say, love is an open door, but some windows don't open.
Yeah, and so ultimately, you know, it didn't have central air, so the things that we didn't even knew that we were looking for that won this over with this house were things that exceeded some of the things that were quote-unquote must-haves. And so, like, you just got to be flexible. And is this, like, a dream house that has everything on our list? No, but it was just, like, meant for us. And when we went to take the tour the first time, the current homeowner, who was like an older woman who was retiring and like ready to start like that next chapter in her life, it was like she was here and like politely, you know, took a walk around the neighborhood while we looked at the house. But when she came back, we were able to ask her questions, and you can just tell this house, like, you know, it was still like, it's almost 100 years old, not as old as the farmhouse, but still like going on a century. Like, there's history here, and but it was just so much more well taken care of. There's like stained glass that's still here, and everyone house on this street is a little bit different, but every house like has that love, and you can tell that they've just been very well taken care of and loved throughout their lives. And so the homeowner was just so lovely, and it, like, we like were able to help each other like and come together and give each other the gift of that next chapter in our lives. And so she was able to retire to a very, very, very nice, like, you know, assisted living community for very, very active seniors. And that's huge and kind of ritzy. And so we were able to buy our
few. They all just swing all the time. It's really sexy.
And then we ended up in a neighborhood that we never in a million years thought that we would be able to mm-hmm. afford or live in. And it's for our first home to boot. So yeah, it was like a lot of things aligned that were really, really kind of brilliant.
When it comes to buying the house that you are going to live in personally, the house that you like, the one that you're going to call home, I think that Dan Savage's rule on relationships applies, also known as fuck yes or no. He postulates that if you're on a date with someone and you go on this date and afterwards you ask yourself, do I want to see this person again? If the answer is anything but fuck yes, then it's a no, right? Like, it needs to be yes plus enthusiasm. You need to just feel the place and be like, it's either going to be fuck yes, or we move on, we find a different place.
Yeah.
100%.
And this house was just, every time we walked in, it was just fuck yes over and over again.
And so once you had done all the due diligence and gotten everything sorted, you moved in. What was the moving process this time like compared to the previous times?
I did a thing this time, which is...
Part two, moving saga, electric part two, electric blue.
I hired movers. So movers came and they packaged up all of our big furniture. We didn't have them package up any of the like small totes of things just because whatever, we can move those on our own time. And I wasn't going to pay like Uber money. But we managed to get all the big furniture in. We had done it all in one day. Alex was even at work that day. So she like got off work and drove home and all of our shit was already in the house. I don't think I will ever move any other way ever again. That was like a godsend. Like imagining a day where we would have had to cart all that furniture up these stairs. By the way, our house has a lot of stairs at the front. It's a little like rocky, like climbing the... Yeah. It was just...
How amazing, though, right? Yeah.
And the fact that we were moving out of my mother's house meant that we didn't... It's not like it's not like we needed to vacate the space by a certain day, 100%. Like, we could kind of take trips. So for the past, you know, however many weeks, every time we go to visit my mother, we just take a few boxes with us. And we're pretty much moved out now. We have a few more things left. But for the most part, we are all here.
Yeah.
I still have bits and pieces hanging around in my parents' place. I think I'm going to go back tonight. I've got like one or two books I want to take from their bookshelves and take back home to read. So, yeah. Amazing. And so, as you were saying before, pretty much all settled in now. Now that you've been in the house for a few weeks, has there been any of your perspectives about the house have changed now that you're like living in it 24/7?
I honestly, this house keeps surprising me, and that's in good ways, right? The previous homeowner went to move, there were pieces of furniture that we agreed with that, you know, were not going to fit in her new space. She was downsizing, so we agreed on certain pieces that, you know, she left here. It's such a huge house. Like, way bigger than we ever expected. Like, there's, like, little nooks and crannies where, like, oh, we'll find, like, this book or a chair or what have you. And, like, there's so much charm. Like, there's, like, built-in bookshelves in different parts of the house that, like, people are so jealous of, but really are just, like, rickety boards that I'm sure, like, a previous homeowner's, like, just, like, went in one day and, like, did it as a project. And or like someone has like, you know, the height like of someone's kids, like where they were growing up, like on a wall. So like little things to discover that I think are just really cool and we'll always be excited to like uncover what's next. I'm
thrilled to have a space to host D&D in the flesh. I'm so sick of like trying to pay attention to a Dungeons and Dragons campaign over a Zoom meeting. I miss the table. I'm so happy we get to have it at the table.
Amazing. And I think, it's fascinating. But yeah, I'm so glad and excited that you guys have, it almost feels like over the last year and a bit, completed your journey of, you know, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is there any final thoughts or words about your experience that you wanted to share?
I just think it's great that we were able to, like, you know, the first time we came on your pod, we talked about, you know, the moving process and how crazy and stressful it was. And it is now, like, a year and some change later, and we're in a new chapter in our lives, which shows, like, you know, things can get crazy in the day-to-day when you're just, like, getting up, going and doing what seems to be very similar things or going to activities and making sure your responsibilities are met, and you know, whether it's a job or like people that you know, are relying on you. And, you know, all of that can get really stressful and, you know, can be hard to see, like, you know, oh, am I making a difference? Or, oh, what is this all for? And like, oh, am I really meeting those milestones or things that I have set up for myself? And when you take a step back and see, oh, like when I'm looking at it versus a day to day to like, you know, over the span of a year, like, it's like, wow, look at how much it really has changed. And so I just say, you know, if, especially as the pandemic continues to evolve and, you know, is really kind of part of everyday life now, things do eventually get better. And just like, I'll end with the John Lennon quote, that's one of my favorites, that if things are not, things will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, then it's not the end. So, you know, things are, and every house buy, whether it's a big life milestone, getting married, going to school, having a child, buying a house, moving, wherever it is, you know, you'll all, even if it's going to happen differently for every person, don't compare yourselves to others. And it might be take over the some people days and like have to find a place to live very quickly, or like us where it spreads over, you know, over a year or multiple years. And so like, and things just, you know, will resolve in their own time. You just gotta be down for the ride.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people find you guys on the internet?
We do a podcast about Avatar The Last Airbender. It's called My Cabbages, an Avatar podcast. It is on the Deus Ex Media Network. We go episode by episode and, you know, shoot the shit, make some jokes, talk about philosophy and what have you. We really get into the nitty gritty and do a little overanalyzing. Our episodes tend to sometimes bleed a little long because there's just so much to talk about in this.
So much to break down, so much nostalgia just to reminisce about.
Especially so close to the end of season 3.
I know. It's like the Curiosity rover. We can't go 5 feet over some Mars rocks without like 15 scientists going, oh, I want to check out that one. I want to look at that one over there. What's that one over there? That's our podcast every day. You can check that out at My Cabbages. You can find us on any major podcatcher. You can find us on Twitter. We're at CabbageCast, but probably not in a permanent situation because Twitter is starting to catch fire.
So you should instead go on Instagram or email us MyCabbageCast.
Or MyCabbageCast on Instagram and at MyCabbageCast@gmail.com in email form. And we have a YouTube channel, but I haven't posted there in ages, so good luck finding it. Go looking.
It's a challenge.
Go searching.
The quest for the Content Capable listeners is to go and find the My Cabbages YouTube page now. and has there been anything that you've been reading, watching, listening to that you guys wanted to plug?
Do you have a plug, babe? I have one.
Sure, absolutely. I am going to plug this month's book club book. So one wonderful perk about being a member of the Deus Ex Media Podcast Network, and if you're a patron of either My Cabbages or our sister podcast or our sibling podcast of The Eldest Gods and the Restricted Section, you can, for just $1 a month, get access to our Discord server, and all, which includes our book club. We're currently, for the month of November, reading Sister Song by... Sorry, editing Sam, I'm giving you work. Sister Song by Lucy Holland, which is a story about three siblings in early British or Britain and fighting off the invading Saxons, and like the balance between the changing that comes with the new religion of quote Christianity and like the dying old ways and magic. And so these three siblings, daughters of a king, have to work together and find their fates and save their homeland. And it's pretty, pretty rad. So definitely, if anyone is a fan of fantasy or history or magic, and really strong characters and history retellings, I highly recommend.
Amazing.
I am going to recommend a movie that I watched recently that I very much liked. Now, I want to pitch I want to plug a movie I saw recently that I really liked called 3,000 Years of Longing. It is a George Miller film. George Miller historically did the Mad Max series, which Mad Max Fury Road, probably one of the most perfect action movies ever made. Changed my mind. But 3,000 Years of Longing is a very different film from him. It is about a djinn played by Idris Elba, who finds a woman played by Tilda Swinton, who, like, they're both very, like, lonely people. They've been sort of beaten down by love and romance, and they kind of connect in a hotel room, and obviously he gives her the three wishes, and there's that whole play. But it's, like, a very surrealist and out there movie that I think just delighted me with its creativity.
Yeah, as Zach amazing. Also described it, instead of eat, pray, love, it was eat, pray, fuck.
Eat, pray, fuck. It's a little bit of a horny movie, but in a fun way.
I love that. Mm. Love that. Well, you can find me at sam.the.journalist on Instagram and on TikTok. And if you are still on Twitter, samobjournalist. I feel like I'm going to be like the last one there.
Watching, like, as the rest of it burns to the ground.
The captain, like, sitting in the balcony the Titanic, as the water crashes in.
Journalists are notoriously bad at changing their habits. And when every one of your colleagues is on Twitter and you're not, you are missing out. So, unfortunately, I will be there for a little while. I do enjoy the dumpster fire. I'm going to plug a board game of all things, the game Sequence. It is such a fun game.
That I love Sequence.
Really easy to play. I have, like, the card version of it, not the board version of it, at home, and it's just so much fun. And just, like, full of double crossing, and, like, you can't, no table talk, and trying to teach my siblings, like, don't do table talk, or, you know, my 13-year-old brother who can't not table talk, trying to teach him how to. It's so entertaining, but, you know, it's so much fun. I definitely suggest going and playing it. It's a fun board game, especially for this holiday season where there's lots of public holidays, lots of family gatherings. Might be something fun to pull out too, as a bit of a neutral ground, I feel.
Agreed. It's a good, like,
yeah.
And it's a good alternative to, like, the roll the dice, move this number of spaces, like, family board game. Like, or so if you want to, like, preserve friendships and family and don't want to play Monopoly, Sequence is a great, great alternative.
Yes. Also highly suggest, you know, just don't take it too seriously.
Monopoly always ends 4 hours later with everyone hating each other. I've never seen Monopoly end any other way in my entire life.
I don't think I've actually finished a game of Monopoly ever.
I don't think, Sam, to be honest with you, I don't think anyone ever has, ever.
The other thing, if you love the idea of Monopoly, Monopoly Deal is a lot of fun. It's a great alternative with less friendship ruining and a lot faster. You can make it a lot faster if you want as well. So, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Alex and Zach. It's been so fun to chat to you both.
Sam, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. And thank you to all the listeners. I hope everyone has a great, wonderful rest of their day, wherever they may be. And yeah, we look forward to the next time.
Thank you for listening to Content and Capable. You can follow the podcast socials at Content, the letter N, Capable on Instagram and Twitter. You can send an email to contentandcapablepod@gmail.com. Please give us a review on iTunes or Spotify to help others know that you love this podcast. The art was done by Opia. You can follow them at opia_art_. Opia is spelled O-P-I-A. Feel free to message them about making art for your project. Our music was written, recorded, and edited by Isabel Strauss-Riggs. You can find Izzy at Kane_I, that's I as in the body part, on Instagram and Twitter, and on YouTube at KaneI with no spaces. Feel free to message her about making music for your project or editing your podcast.
Coffee. Tea. Honor. Cabbage. Long ago, the four elements lived in harmony. Then, shit went totally cray when the Avatar attacked. Only the Cabbage Man, merchant of fine cruciferous vegetables, could stand against his trolling. But when the world needed some dank veg, he vanished. 10 years have passed, and my partner and I have started a new podcast.
My Cabbages! An Avatar podcast.
A weekly show about Avatar The Last Airbender. Whether it's Sokka's new line of cologne.
Hey, look at you, sitting there on a seal. Well, now look at back at me. I'm on an even bigger seal. Now look away.
D&D related antics.
You have to make an acrobatics check for that. And Aang just like unzips his pants and whips out his D20s. He's just like, I got this.
Or randomly breaking into song.
Sokka bending waterfall.
We'll stumble our way through the greatest show ever made, one episode at a time.
You can reach us at CabbageCast, which is our Twitter, or
subscribe wherever you catch pod.
Rotten cabbages? What kind of slum do you think this is?
Content and Capable is a podcast all about answering the question, how do you adult? Don't forget to rate and review, and I will see you next Monday for another episode.
Deus Ex Media.
Fuck, hang on. Pooped. I missed a poop. I missed one of the poops. You pooped on me again, bird.
There's poop everywhere.
There's poop everywhere.